Welcome to another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast with your host, Ryan Dangle.
You picked a tie? What are we, true, in Europe?
Ties happen in the NFL, man.
They're called draws, right? Yeah, dude, why? Why are we doing? No, absolutely not. All right, well, you got to keep your own record now because I don't have a tie column. I got a win-loss column.
Patrick Sheldon.
I say that because the flashlight emanating and beaming from the steaming pile of was today's game is David Montgomery. He is the flashlight in my pile of poop.
Brendan Chagru.
So our buddy Brendan, who writes for USA Today, I have always screwed up his last name. Brendan.
And Jack Wright.
Sorry, Captain Flus over there.
I'm not Captain Flus.
So you're not excited, Jack. You're not excited about having Sarah Spain.
Yeah, wow.
Show,
maybe no, I have talent. Is that what we find out?
Featuring Cam Ellis.
Once I was like trying to get a happy answer out of him, and I was like, "Hey, man, like, do you take out of these situations? Like, what is it like to know that like you're this beloved that like these videos are going viral?" And he was just like, "I don't do it for that attention." And then they just took the next question, and I was just like, "Okay, like, I'm gonna melt into my seat and never come back here ever again."
And Logan Bradley.
Bears, rich history defensively, a lot of good linebackers. First round draft pick, hell of a player, a Bear that is going to go down in history. Nobody's going to forget. I am bringing back Shea McClellan.
The Bear Down Chicago podcast. Yeah, we're that Bears podcast.
Eight in a row. Woof. Welcome to another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast. Now, I am your host, Ryan Dangle. You want to find me on Twitter? It's at Ryan Dangle. That's D-E-N-G-E-L for our audio-only listeners. We are live on YouTube. We're live on Twitter. Some people call it X. I don't. We are live on Facebook. That's that social media site for old people. So you can keep all your pictures for all of your family. We're out there. We're on all of those streaming platforms. Please check us out wherever you can. Thank you so much for all of you that are already hanging out with us. Eight in a row. Woo, boy. Let's bring on my fellow bad interneter. Because his might be worse than mine, but I don't know. We'll find out. The assistant editor of Bears Wire, it's Brendan Chagru. If you want to find him on Twitter, it's at Brendan Chagru. That's S-U-G-R-U-E. Brendan, hey, buddy. How are you?
Hey. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's a lot of games that the Bears can't win, Ryan. That's a lot.
It's almost like a record or something, but then you remember, no, it's not, because there's just been bad.
I know. Just like my internet. And by the way, I was doing research, guys, for everybody who wants to bitch at me. I was really trying to work with Comcast because they said, hey, we can get you more like better internet for less money. And I'm like, oh, that's great. And I'm going through like the process and they just lied to me because the price was actually more and they said they were going to give me deals and all of that fun stuff. So they're just, you know, it's just like the Bears that you think you're going to get something good. You think, hey, maybe this time's different. And then they just, you know, throw you over a barrel and just roll you down the river.
We're going to bring Jack on here in just a second, but I will say this is I live in a forest preserve and straight up, we had a guy at one point with our initial internet, we got the house. He goes, oh, you should get Comcast because this is terrible. I'm like, you work for a company. I won't say the other. He's AT&T. He doesn't care, right? AT&T. And the AT&T guy's like, oh, bro, you got to get Comcast. We got Comcast. And we're like, finally, we got internet. And I got a little warning up there that says no. So when I start using lots of latent profanity, just tirades later, maybe my internet will just cut out. I'll just be yelling into a computer that doesn't work. Maybe. Jack Wright, God, is he good looking. If you want to find Jack on Twitter, it's at Bear Down Jack. How are you, my good looking friend?
I am great, and thank you. I cut the cord long time ago with Comcast. Like, the only time I tend to be rude is with like folks that are like trying to sell me stuff on like customer service people. I'm not proud of it. I lose my patience. Anyway, I cut the cord. It was like 20 years later, I was living where I am currently, and Comcast came to my front door and knocked on the door. I opened the door and I go, no. And I just shut the door. And the guy was like, bad experience. I go, yes, bad experience. And I just shut the door. I was like, it was
just start hissing.
Yeah, it was that bad. I'm like, never again.
We will exorcise the demons.
Yeah, and yeah, that's smudging. You need a smudging.
We haven't. At some point, Jack and I talked about doing my around the world impersonations, and Brendan, you and I will have to do an impersonation off at some point. Ooh. I think that'll be fun. That'll be fun,
Ryan. That could get problematic, man. Oh boy.
What did I miss? What did I say wrong?
No, around the world. Never mind. We're good.
Oh, you skipped the ones that you shouldn't do. I mean.
Oh, okay. All right. See, my obviously. Head immediately went to the ones you shouldn't do. And I was like, oh, okay.
No. No, trust me. It's a party trick. And you realize very quickly there are certain ones that you do and certain ones that you don't. And then just, you know, you get comfortable with those. And so I'll do my bad Russian accent because, you know, Russia takes up a large proportion of Europe. There's people watching this episode going, are you going to talk about the Bears? And the answer is yes, we will. But I honestly think that this conversation might be better than anything we saw last night. Am I wrong, boys?
So far, I'm enjoying it more than anything I saw. Aside from DeAndre Swift, who, holy shit, does that guy not give up? I was super impressed with DeAndre Swift last night. He was hungry, trying to get in the end zone. I thought that was great.
He can't run inside the tackles, but he's so explosive when he's outside the tackles. He's so good.
Yeah.
Well, and the one time he did run inside the tackles, just somebody, we won't say who, but somebody just forgot to say, hey, I'm eligible. That's the only thing I have to do on this play.
I was also thinking, was Gerald Everett's whiff, was that also when DeAndre Swift was trying to pick up a yard? Or was that somebody else that was trying to pick up a yard?
Oh, I think that, no, that I'm pretty sure that was Swift. That might have been a different play, but...
Wow.
Man.
How do you just like, oh, I'm supposed to block somebody? Poles. We're going to talk about Ryan Poles and some of the bad decisions that he's done. That one, why did you pay him money? Sorry, Brendan. Very excited.
We got some breaking news here.
Let's go.
It's notable. This is fun to have breaking news here.
Brendan, break that news, baby.
Yeah. The Falcons are making a major change as Michael Penix Jr. is expected to take over at QB with Kirk Cousins going to the bench.
I'm gonna say something I don't like saying. Kevin O'Connell's one of the better coaches in the NFL right now. And part of it is because he's a quarterback whisperer. Dude legit got the best out of Kirk Cousins, who's not very good right now. And he made Sam Darnold a Pro Bowl quarterback that was at least in some ways. Oh, sorry. Just give me a second. I'm just getting nauseous here. In some ways, in conversations for MVP.
No, don't say that. Ryan, I'm being serious. Who are the Vikings fans that you had on or over the summer? What are their names again?
Yeah,
you have Dan and Brian. Dan and I spent, our lunches worked out together today. And I have so much work that has to get done. And instead we talked for 40 minutes about the Bears and the Vikings and just go, oh, Kwesi. Yeah, that's a good GM right now. KOC, that's good coach. So, hired the same year as Eberflus. Ooh, yeah, okay. And just, they're better than us.
I'm going to eat crow here because I was the one who was absolutely just
making. Time out.
Oh, you got, okay.
Save that for later, Brendan. You know what? Actually, you know what? Jack, why don't we've got it queued up. Why don't we do it right now? We were just talking about it. So let's do this. Brendan, why don't, since you want to eat crow, go ahead and do that. And so this is, God, this is so perfect. This is so perfect. All right. So something before the season started that you got right about this team, take a victory lap because you deserve it. You deserve it. And then something got wrong about this team. And if you also want to simultaneously, something you got right about another team, something you got wrong about another team, Brendan, you know, so doubly. Yes. You good with that?
Yeah, sure. All right, so I'm going to start out by saying this, and I'm glad you put the camera on me because I definitely need to eat crow. I'm starting with the wrong about the other team real quickly. Ryan, say their names again. Dan, and who's the other one?
Dan and Brian.
Brian, Dan and Brian, if you're listening to this, boys, I clowned you, maybe not publicly, but privately, about your take about Sam Darnold and how the Vikings were in a much better situation with Sam Darnold as their starting quarterback over Kirk Cousins. I thought it was the dumbest take I've heard all summer. But you know what? You know Vikings ball, and I don't know Vikings ball, apparently, because you were right. And I thought Kirk Cousins was going to be better this year. He had a good first half of the season, and then Father Time eventually wins over everybody and he started to fall off a cliff, hence why he got benched, which is, this is perfect timing. I mean, honestly. So to Dan and Brian, you were right. I was wrong. Sam Darnold and the Vikings, that was a perfect match with Kevin O'Connell. I'm not going to say that Kwesi Adofo-Mensah is a good GM. I think he has hired a very good coaching staff that is getting the most out of that team, because Kevin O'Connell is a very good coach. His drafts kind of suck.
So do Ryan Poles, though.
That's a whole other conversation. I'm talking strictly about the Vikings GM situation, but man, Kevin O'Connell can, that dude can coach. So I definitely got that wrong about the Vikings. I was just thinking about this with my bold predictions that I made before the season for the Bears. I have not looked at them yet. Every year, and I know Ryan's seen this before, I go back and just double check my work and see how I did and say, yeah, I was right here, I was wrong here. I did say that before the season started, I thought Caleb Williams would have a season statistically like Mitchell Trubisky's in 2018, where he passed for like 3,200 yards. He had like 22 touchdowns, I think, and like maybe 12 interceptions. And I said, I was like, that's kind of my expectations for him. And I think I'll be happy if he does that. I got clowned for it. Everybody's like, no, he's going to be the first 4,000 yard passer that the Bears have ever had. He is going to just smash all of not just the rookie records, which I thought he would, but the regular season or the normal Bears passing records. And I said, I don't know about that, but I think he's going to do pretty well as a rookie in that standpoint. And that's kind of looking like where he's going to end up. He's probably going to have like 3,200 yards, maybe 20 touchdowns and seven interceptions if he keeps it up. So that was kind of my expectation statistically for him. I was a lot lower on that end than other people. And that looks to be right. So that's cool. Don't look at my other bold predictions because those are not going to be good.
All right, Jack, what'd you get right? What'd you get wrong?
I would say probably, I think I was on board from the beginning. The thing that I've gotten the most right when I call him by the right name is linebacker TJ Edwards. I think he currently leads the team in tackles. And I think it's worth looking at his statistics briefly. So he's played 14 games. He has 67 solo tackles, 111 total tackles. He has 3 sacks. He has 10 tackles for loss. He has 3 pass deflections, an interception, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery. I don't know. I wouldn't mind. Last year, I was kind of tracking him and comparing him to other linebackers in the league, and I felt like, you know, he was greatly underpublicized. But he's quietly, I think, one of the best players on the Bears and one of the better linebackers. Is it safe to say in the league? I haven't done my full research. I got to see who's leading the league.
I want to say if the Bears have someone that could make the Pro Bowl, he probably won't because the Bears are abysmal and he doesn't get the name recognition. But I think in terms of players that are deserving on this team, he might be the one for me. Brendan, what do you think?
I don't know. I think he's had a decent season, and I think maybe it's just because of how the rest of the team has looked in comparison to him. So again, another bold prediction that went terribly wrong. I thought he was actually going to break 100 solo tackles this year and be one of like five Bears to do it, like Lance Briggs and Urlacher, because of what I saw last year. And that just has not happened. He looks a step slow than he did last year. I thought he was firing a little bit quicker compared to he was firing quicker last year compared to this year. He's solid. He's definitely worth the money. And I think he's definitely an extension candidate, but I still think Jalen Johnson is probably going to be that guy who can still get the Pro Bowl nomination. He has been, he maybe hasn't been like the second team all pro like he was last year, but he's still locking down guys. He once again did very, very well against Justin Jefferson on Monday night. And his numbers overall, I think I'm not looking at him right now, but he still has a very low opposing passer rating against him. So he's probably the biggest candidate, and he became more of a household name last year too. Guys like TJ Edwards, that hasn't happened yet.
Jack, I didn't want to steal it, but you got me on a tangent there.
No, you're good. And then in terms of what I got wrong, I think a lot of us got it wrong, but do you remember when Dano posted his graphic about the best wide receiver rooms in the NFC North? And then I reposted it and it went bonkers. And I think most of us, and again, we should look statistically, but I think we were kind of laughing, you know, like, oh yeah, no, the Bears wide receiver room is better, you know, than the Packers. And, you know, oh, I mean, besides Justin Jefferson, who do the Vikings have? Addison, Hawkinson. So, you know, I mean, I think there's a lot of woes with the Bears teams. And I think in some ways the wide receivers have, you know, done decent, all things considered, with an incredibly dysfunctional, offensive coordinator, fired offensive coordinator. They've done okay, but let's be real. A lot of what we think about the Bears, unfortunately, is hope and dreams. And a lot of what we think about the Bears just doesn't come to fruition, honestly.
I'm going to take a victory lap on saying, and I hate this, that I'm going super negative, but I knew that the Bears offensive line was not going to hold up, wasn't going to be very good, that Ryan Poles did not do enough to address it. He didn't, and it wasn't very good. Said the same thing kind of about the defensive line, so I'll take a victory lap on that. Wrong. Thomas Brown. I was the Thomas Brown hype man in our text thread. You can read it. We talked about this probably last week or 2 weeks ago. And I was wrong. He's overwhelmed, overmatched right now. He might have been a halfway decent offensive coordinator if he could stay up in the box. But as a head coach, he's been bad, real bad.
Did you guys hear? So the DJ Moore did his weekly interview and they legitimately asked him, do you think Thomas Brown would be better going back up to the booth and just being the head coach there? Like Yurko talked about it when it first came out that he was going to be the coach, and DJ actually entertained it. He's like, yeah, maybe that's an option. What are we doing?
Is this worse than 2022?
Yes.
Jack?
Yeah, I believe that it is. I said to the, you know, text thread, I don't think anybody really expected us to be here, like where we are currently with this particular team. And maybe it feels worse because our hopes were higher. I could speak for myself. My hopes were higher. I thought, you know, 10 games and maybe a playoff bid. You know, it's like, so in that respect, it certainly feels worse.
How about this, boys? I got some other fun stuff that are totally off the rails from normal. But before that, I think there's some people that we got to thank. So let's thank some cool people. What do you think?
Let's do it. For sure, you want to go to Sheridan's Barbershop. It's a cornerstone of the Wheaton community and has been since 1954. It's where old school charm meets modern style. Located in the heart of historic downtown Wheaton, Illinois, they've got 6 master barbers ready to keep you looking sharp. Sheridan's is open Monday through Saturday, so it's easy to fit a fresh cut into your schedule with appointments available online or by phone. you can head to Sheridan'sBarbershop.com on the internets, unless you have Comcast, in which case maybe you could send out a carrier pigeon. Or you could call 630-668-0137. If you're not close to Wheaton, you're closer to Naperville, then head over to downtown Naperville to Hensel's Barbershop, which has been a local favorite since 1966, offers the same unbeatable service with a crew of six skilled barbers. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. Got you covered with walk-ins and appointments alike. Whether you need a quick cleanup or a full transformation, Bears, Hensel's has you covered. Sheridan's and Hensel's Barbershops, where traditional meets modern.
Hey, attention Chicagoland investors and business owners. Do you need a commercial real estate expert? Are you looking to potentially purchase Hellas Hall from those greedy McCaskies? I don't know if you can, but look no further than Jeff Cadwallader at SVN Landmark Commercial Real Estate in Geneva. With generations of experience, Jeff specializes in office, retail, investment, and land properties. For all of your commercial real estate needs, make sure you trust Jeff Cadwallader. So visit jeffcre.com or call 630-254-4734 today.
If you talk to Jeff Cadwallader or you go to Hensel's or Sheridan's, let them know that the guys of the Bear Down Chicago podcast say hello. We would appreciate it, and they sure would appreciate it. I just want to let you know, Brendan, I got a text just about a minute or two ago. Apology accepted, Brendan, and a heart. So there you go. That's one of the two. So Brian is a gracious forgiver of people.
Thank you, Brian. Dan, I hope you actually tell me to go, you know, kiss your ass or something, because we need a little difference there.
Okay. All right. So should we get angry or should we just have a little fun first? Which one should we do?
How about fun? How about UBS?
Sure. I
already heard fun. Okay. So really thinking about this roster that Ryan Poles has constructed, and it's looking worse and worse every week since Thomas Brown has taken over. And so it really got me thinking about this question. And if you are in the comment section, please, please, please let us know what you're thinking about this one. If, you know, make the number five, I don't know, or maybe you just say, hey, there's only two or three players. What are Chicago Bears players currently on the roster today that must be a part of the Bears' future plans? I go offense, go defense. I don't care what you think, boys. I just want to know the must keeps that we have on this team. Brendan, I'm going to put you up first. Jack, you'll go next, and I will finish it up. And again, one more time, for all of you that are in the comment section, please chime in with this one. I want to hear your thoughts on this one.
All right. So are we just saying money's no object? Like, let's just say everything's equal.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Whatever. We're having fun. It's a Tuesday night and we're recording a podcast.
That's right. Okay. All right. Let's go. Caleb Williams is an obvious keep. Even if you don't think for whatever reason that he's the guy, I still believe, I think he's shown, you know, plenty of promise. You're not going to get much. You're not going to have many better opportunities, and he's only in year one. Caleb Williams is definitely on that list. Darnell Wright, I would say, even though Wright isn't exactly showing that he's the, like, you know, lockdown anchor at right tackle, he's good, but you kind of want to see a little bit more at this point. So he's there. I think Braxton Jones should be on my line. I don't know where he's playing. I don't know if he's a left tackle. I don't know if he's a left guard or if you move him over to right guard or something. But I think Braxton Jones is talented enough that you can make an argument that he's a must keep at the very least. Skill position players, Roma Dunze. I still think DJ Moore offers you something. I just think right now, like this wide receiver room, there's no cohesion. There's whether it's the play calling, whether it's just the chemistry. I think these guys get along great off the field, but on the field, it just doesn't work out. I think you should keep Roman DJ because it's not like you can't just keep upgrading out of nowhere. Cole Kmet's still a keep because he does do good things with the ball in his hands. He just doesn't get those opportunities. I also wish he would talk a little bit less because it feels like he's a little more unprepared this year. So if he can go back to not doing I feel weird saying this on a podcast, but look, if you can go back to not doing a podcast, focus solely on football, I feel a lot better about that. Probably that's it for, you know, for offense. And then defense, Montez Sweat and Jervon Dexter are my two on the defensive line. Both are not elite, I don't think, but they're very good. I don't even think as much as I like TJ Edwards, I don't think he's a must keep. Kyler Gordon and Jalen Johnson in the secondary. And then I still think if he's healthy, I still think Jaquan Brisker, because this defense is missing something without him. I think he was playing his best ball before he got hurt. And yeah, I feel good about that. Oh, and Cairo Santos, because he's for the most part reliable. You need a kicker.
So just recapping really quick who we've got. So who Brendan has, he's got Caleb, Darnell Wright, Braxton Jones, Rome Odunze, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, Montez Sweat, Jervon Dexter, Kyler Gordon, Jalen Jones, and Jaquan Brisker. Do I have it correct?
And Cairo Santos. Yes, that's 12.
And Cairo Santos. Jack, before you go, the man, the myth, the sexy mustache, Logan Bradley's return. Hi, Logan Bradley. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, guys. How are all of you fine folks? It's good to see your faces.
We're having fun. And so, Logan, good. We're going to give you a second to settle in with this one. We're thinking Bears players that have to be kept going into the rebuild again. So where the Bears are head to. So think about this one. We're going to put Jack on there. Then you'll go next and I'll finish this one up. Players that you must keep. So Jack, who are your players the Bears must keep?
Tyreek Stevenson. Oh, sorry. No, I didn't mean to say that. That was an accident. No, not Tyreek Stevenson. So let me see. I think I agree with all of Brendan's. We talked a little bit about Braxton Jones today. You and me, RD, and I likened Braxton Jones, who, you know, I think has played above his pay grade and his draft position, you know, I think letting him go, would be the equivalent, I mean, not the equivalent, but it would be in the same ballpark as letting James Daniels go. Like a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, and we're not like really in the position to be able to like let serviceable or above serviceable offensive linemen go. So I'm not sure. I think the only person I might have beef with, guys, what, Montez Sweat? I mean, I don't understand. Like, how does he come in and make such a crucial difference in the entire complexion of the defense last year? All right, clearly obvious pass rush, pressures on the quarterback, increased secondary play, increased pass deflections, increased interceptions. I mean, dramatically changed the entire defense. Now, unless he's injured and we don't know about it or something else is going on, I guess I just don't understand why Montez Sweat's productivity has gone down. And then I guess I wouldn't mind hearing like a bit of a rebuttal on why you'd still keep him, perhaps Brendan or someone else.
Yeah, Brendan, throw it in.
So Montez Sweat has been hurt. He's been dealing with a shin issue that has been lingering for quite a bit. So I know that has hampered him. I think Sweat definitely played better than what his career had been up to that point going into the trade last year. I mean, it was a contract year for him. He was re-energized coming to a new team. He talked about how it was tough being on the Commanders, a team that pretty much before Josh Harris took over was just one of the worst franchises in North American sports under Dan Snyder. So that energized him. He was thriving in Eberflus's defense, and yeah, he had just gotten paid. Like, he's ready to go. So he's still an impact player at times, but you're right. It's definitely taken a dip. I want to see him, what he looks like fully healthy again. And also when you don't have as much help, like guys like Andrew Billings go out. I know we don't want to use that as an excuse for everything, but it puts more pressure on the other guys. And the Bears defensive line was already so thin as it is. You're asking him to do essentially just like be the star and have very little help around him. So he's still, again, he's maybe not like the perennial Pro Bowl player. He probably is overpaid at this point, but he's still a good football player that you need to have good edge rushing guys on your team going forward.
Did you say no on Swift?
I said no on Swift. He's fine. I think he adds a little bit of a spark to the offense, but I mean, for the money that Saquon Barkley's getting, he's Swift overpaid. Like, he's not special. I just, he's not like one of those like gotta have guys. But if somebody wants to argue, I mean, you don't have any better options right now. Although it is a fairly rich running back draft class that's coming up. So, you know, there's a point there. So yeah, that's why I didn't have him.
And the only thing I would mention that goes off your list is, I mean, obviously I've got much love for Edwards and I would keep him. And I think to your point about the 100 solos, I think he's the type of player who elevates with a little bit better defensive line in front of him as well. I think he still plays well, even when the defense has been pretty shit lately. He's not elite, and you know, you made a great point about him maybe not being Pro Bowl caliber, but I just think he's a really solid player.
Logan, what about you? Players that you feel that the Bears must keep, whether you agree, disagree with what Brendan has to say, an addition, a subtraction, where are you kind of at on that?
I think you just build around Kieran Amagaji or whatever, however you say his name. I think he's just the cornerstone of this team. I think you build around him. That's the only comment to have. Okay. I'm just kidding. No, I obviously came in late, so I haven't really had full time to think about this, but I think the Swift thing is interesting, and I do side with Brendan. I just like, he's shown flashes of like being a very helpful player and has given us a boost at times, but you can get a running back for a dime a dozen. And just the difference, you know, you have Saquon Barkley and you have like Derrick Henry, and obviously I'm leaving off a bunch of good running backs, but I think you can find a guy through the draft. Like Roshon Johnson, I think, is fine. Maybe the, you know, this team or coaching staff in flux doesn't necessarily believe in him as much. I don't know, but he seems to be good enough to, for where you're not paying DeAndre Swift. But man, there aren't as many people coming into this season answering this question and comparing it to now would have been so fascinating, because there would have been a whole lot of guys and players that I would have confidently said at the beginning of the year, and right now those are the same guys that I would never even think of. So kind of a cop-out answer, but there aren't as many as we thought, and whoever the GM is, he's got some decisions to make that ultimately probably won't work.
Yeah, Brendan, I think you got a really good list here. You know, I don't know that I feel as strongly about Braxton Jones as you do. I know you're not saying he's the best that there is. You're simply saying he's serviceable somewhere on the line. I absolutely hear exactly what you're saying. I just don't know that, you know, if you could get four new offensive linemen, I would be okay with that. Roma Dunze, I'd love to see where he goes, where he develops. Man, DJ Moore has taken a giant step back this season. Just giant, giant step back. Cole Kmet, I agree with your assessment there. I think when he has the ball in his hands, he's a battering ram, and he could be so good. But Montez Sweat, if he's not hurt, see ya. There, he's been a giant disappointment this year. If he is hurt, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But yeah, just not great. Jervon Dexter flashed at times. Kyler Gordon, man, was I wrong about that dude. I remember ripping him a new one the first couple months when he played, and I couldn't have been more wrong. That dude is, in the words of Jack Wright, that dog can hunt. JJ, yeah, JJ has been good. Brisker, if he could ever stay healthy. And Cairo, there's better kickers out there. I like Cairo Santos a lot, but there's better kickers. So I don't. If we're being real, Jack, again, you've also always said Bears goggles on, and I think too often we get Bears goggles on. It's going to be tough to make this team, Ryan Poles. No, it's not. I don't know. I really don't know. Any other thoughts, boys, before we go to the next one?
Are we keeping the punter? Can we talk about that?
Hey, do you know what? Matt, who's throwing in some comments in there, our good buddy Matt. Matt, thanks for hanging out with us. We sure do appreciate you. Tory Taylor for sure.
Does anybody have a Tory Taylor comment? Because I was going to go in a different direction.
I was only going to say drafted too high, but yes, he stays.
I agree. Yeah. He's got a hell of a leg. Just one quick thing. So, Dangle, you mentioned Rome Odunze, and I just saw someone tweet earlier today. I don't remember who it was, but they're like, oh, Rome's been a bust, like, generally speaking. And how is that fair to say? How is that fair to say? With what this mess has been, we have no idea how good or not good that guy has been. But we've seen flashes for sure. Just so that was one, like, there have been plenty of things that I've tried to, like, not look at Bears stuff on Twitter today. There's been plenty of dumb things said, but I thought that was, like, an underrated dumb thing to say. How can you call that guy a bust?
I've been waiting patiently, thinking about what I was going to say for this. And I know that's not what you just said, Logan, but it's the same thing. I'm sick of this. I'm done with it. This, that Caleb Williams is bad. I saw this tweet today from some crypto queen. I don't remember what her name was. It doesn't matter. She's like, were Bears fans ready to admit that Caleb is bad? Stop it. Stop it. Please stop it. Jack, that's three in a row, dude. I'm like lifting you up to big time today, buddy. But when you talked about how baseball has their guys, their commentators, right? And they bring them with them. I was thinking about that so much. Troy Aikman, the guys in this podcast are sick of me tweeting about him. He was terrible last night. That dude didn't watch Bears film all. Oh, Bears have been getting home at this pass rush all season long without blitzing. What are you looking at, Troy? What are you talking about? Dude has no idea what he's talking about. He keeps ripping into Caleb like Caleb is it's all his fault. Does Caleb have to develop? Yes. Is he still missing open receivers? Yes, he is. But he's a freaking rookie who's going to probably hit 3,500 yards, 20 tutties, sub 10 interceptions. Like, that's way better than Troy Aikman. That's way better than Peyton Manning. Like, the list goes on. Like, he's playing exceptionally well in a situation where he's playing for his second head coach, his third offensive coordinator in one season. Keenan Allen keeps dropping the freaking ball.
Oh my God, that was killing me.
It's unreal. And people are saying that this kid's a bust. I don't know. I don't know if all of you people are upset because he paints his nails or because he went to USC or because after he got rocked, like shot in the ribs by a player who hit him late, like every Bears quarterback, right? And then he comes over and he falls on the side of the bench because he just got his bell rung, his ribs rocked, and people are like, oh, Emmanuel Acho, you idiot.
Oh,
your body language, your body language. You're a former player, and you can't look at this organization and say that this kid is doing all of this in spite of one of the most dysfunctional organizations that's ever put a football team together. And it's Caleb's fault. It's Caleb's fault. These people are idiots. They watch one little segment of what a Bears game. They have no semblance of what they're talking about. And they decide, oh, yeah, okay, Caleb's a bust. Caleb's a bust. You have no clue what you're talking about. And I'm sorry for yelling into a microphone, but I've been holding on to this one, and I'm sick of it. I'm done. I'm done with it.
Preach.
I'm sorry.
Agreed. Yeah. Sorry, no, I think too, and we talked about pre-show, I think the folks that keep just going to want to keep on bringing up Justin as well. And I just think, you know, that's tired too. Like,
come on.
I mean, I just put this in a very like simplistic way. Like, Justin was flawed in a quarterback. Like, Justin was a flawed quarterback in ways that he still has not repaired. And the Steelers made the same decision that the Bears made. And the Steelers are an infinitely better organization than the Bears are, and they know what they see in Justin. There's a reason he was a fill-in. That argument's dead. It's moot. The things that are flawed about Caleb's games are about the offensive line, about the offensive coordinator, about the offensive game plan, about three receivers being in the same area at the same time, which Troy Aikman said is never a good thing, which I thought was elite analyst level. That was pretty impressive. You should give him credit for that, probably, RD. But no, I mean, his flaws are that he's a rookie, that he's inexperienced, and he's playing on a dumpster fire of a team. It's not about, like, his inability to be able to release the ball on the fifth step or the third step or his decision-making or none of that. These discussions are – they're Twitter idiotic.
Like, has there ever been a number one overall pick or like anybody in the top three who has just gone through everything in the world that he, I mean, I'm sure there are examples. Like, I know David Carr, I think he got like sacked 1.5 billion times his rookie year. And there's probably other examples, but that Caleb Williams has gone through the, not only physical ringer, like putting aside all the physical beating and hits that he has taken this year, he has gone through the, I'm sure, mental ringer. I hope that he's not on social media at all these days, because you have absolute clowns like Emmanuel Acho saying, just spewing bullshit, which, I mean, like, it doesn't matter, but I used to work for Fox. No one gave a shit what I tweeted, but for the sake of not hearing from any of my bosses, I never tweeted about how much I hated that guy. He is the worst. I hate him so much. I never want to hear him talk ever again, because he's the most disingenuous, like, thinks he's the smartest guy on the planet guy of all time, but it's perfect because he gets eyeballs because he says dumb shit all the time that people can make fun of. And then people who don't have brains can quote tweet him and agree with him and all that garbage. But yeah, he came to the sidelines yesterday after getting absolutely demolished physically. His team is getting absolutely demolished. He's in the midst of whatever it is, 8-game losing streak or whatever. He's getting his ass beat for the 800th time in a row. He's probably never, ever even come close to losing this much in his life. So yeah, I'm going to let him go to the sideline and look like he's hurting, because he is hurting. And because he is so damn mentally beaten down in that moment, and the camera happened to be on him. Oh my God, there are better times to look at a 10-second clip and take something from that. That certainly is not it. And it's just like, that's just scratching the surface of how, like, not fair of a shot this guy has gotten this year. There's by no means is anybody saying he's a surefire Hall of Famer, or that he's going to be this like 10-year multi-time all pro, but it's just so unfair to be like calling him a bust or doing any of that. But it's fun because he's put himself out there with the whole nails painting thing and stuff like that. So in today's day and age, that's just fun to make fun of, and it's fun to beat a guy while he's down. So that's what people are doing.
Brendan, I want to hear your thoughts, but first of all, I want to say, Brad Butcher, thank you for hanging out with the Bear Down Chicago podcast. Truly, thank you. Appreciate you. And so his comment, as a Vikes fan, I'll happily trade you Sam for Caleb. Dude doesn't quit. And a few throws last night that only Mahomes makes. And that's what we've been seeing. That's what we've been watching. And that's why this hatred is so crazy. Brad, if you listen to the beginning of this episode, you'll hear Brendan especially say some really, really nice things about the Vikings. Again, I'll say this, KOC, he has to be in conversations for the coach of the year. He is the quarterback whisperer. Could you imagine the numbers that Caleb would be putting up right now? Like, not taking anything away from Sam Darnold, it hurts my soul to say this because I just totally wrote him off as absolute garbage and trash. But he's having an incredible season, and I think again that's KOC big time on that one. Brendan, we didn't get a chance to hear your thoughts on the Caleb hatred, and I'm generally very curious to hear your thoughts.
Well, first of all, I just pictured Logan driving over the bridge like Homer Simpson, laughing as he throws the match, you know, for Fox Sports. That was fantastic. So thank you for that. Look, I'm going to admit that when you look at Caleb's stats as a whole, they do look better than what the eye test is showing. And I don't think that he's been bad. I think he's been rough at times, and it's been a roller coaster, especially in the first half. I was trying to look up the splits, but I couldn't find it immediately off the top of my head, so I'd have to look for that. But I mean, surely his second half splits are much better than the first half, but part of that also is it's more garbage time. Teams are playing more prevent defense. He's able to pick apart a little bit. There are flaws that I'm seeing in his game right now that I think he can correct. He's just been beaten. Like you guys said, he's been beaten down so much. He is starting to see ghosts, which is very concerning. As we've seen, other quarterbacks can get out of it. You need somebody, an offensive just mind, who can not only put together a good scheme, but also reassure him and say like, hey, we can win with you. We know you're the guy, and just, you know, help his mentals. Like you guys have talked about, he's missing some passes. He's not getting rid of the ball at times when guys are open, when he was doing that earlier in the season, mind you. Like, this wasn't an issue for the whole season. One thing I really dislike that he's doing is The deep ball accuracy continues to be a problem. And when he steps up to throw in the pocket, he just automatically overthrows guys. And that is a tendency because your momentum is already taking you forward. You have to make sure that the ball is even more accurate because otherwise you're going to be overthrowing guys. It's happened a lot. I think we saw that. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Keenan in the left corner of the end zone. But yeah, a lot of these problems have compounded. Like you can sort of, you know, like the book, like if you give a mouse a cookie, you know, he'll want whatever. Like if you keep Nate Davis on your team, or if if Nate Davis can't play, then Matt Pryor has to be your right guard. And if Matt Pryor is your right guard, he can't be your swing tackle anymore. And if he can't be your swing tackle and Braxton Jones gets hurt, then you have to go with Karan Amagaji because Larry Borum showed he can't do it. So you might as well go with the unknown. And if Karan Amagaji is getting his first NFL start in a hostile environment against one of the best defensive coordinators who brings the heat all the time, you're going to have a bad time. So these little things, these little decisions that are made are making big impacts late in the season, and it's affecting your rookie quarterback. So the hate is not deserved at all. It feels like the Bears quarterback position is always a punching bag. It's always the sideline shots when you see Justin Fields trying to collect his thoughts, when you see Caleb collect his thoughts and just trying to collect himself. My body language sometimes is terrible. And if people could see me at all times of the day, I'm sure they would be like, bro, you got to fix that. And it's like, sorry, I just had a moment to myself where I needed to feel everything and go through my emotions. So look what Joe Burrow did over the weekend. He was yelling and, you know, cussing out his coaches, and people were like, yeah, Joe Burrow, he could do that because he's an MVP candidate, or he should be if the Bengals were actually good. It's so unwarranted. It's so unfortunate because as far as rookie quarterback standards, Caleb is having I'd say, okay season. Like, I wouldn't say it's great. I would say it's somewhat good. Maybe it's the fact that some of the other rookie quarterbacks have better coaches and they've been able to make better supporting casts than what we thought the Bears would be able to do with Caleb Williams, but it's so unfair. To summarize, he hasn't been as good as the stats say, but at the same time, the hate is so unwarranted because he is dealing with a ton of BS that he's been trying to power through. And he's also been a tough MF-er, man. Like, taking all those hits and being able to start as many games as he had. Guys, he's the first Bears quarterback to start the first 14 games of a season in 10 years. We haven't seen that. Yeah.
Well, I will just a couple quick things. He's a rookie. He's a rookie with Tyson Bagent showed some flashes. Tyson Bagent is not that grizzled veteran that can help him through that process. Yeah. He's now has his third voice in his ear in terms of like play calling and all the things that are going on. Like, dude has no consistency in any way, shape, or form. Now, with that being said, Brendan, all of the points that you made are spot on. I hope that I wasn't like, Caleb's the best quarterback in the history of the world. That's not what I'm saying. But just this, mm-hmm. this, it's fun to pick on Caleb. I'm done with this bullshit. Like, I'm done with it because it's not warranted.
I think something that has been encouraging from him is like, think of all of the different things that have been going against him, like arguably everything. And you really don't hear him outwardly complain that much in like press conferences. And he has every excuse under the sun where he could sprinkle those in his answers and throughout the week. And I get that, like, he definitely sounds discouraged, like, for sure. It'd be impossible for him to just come and be like, hey guys, I'm excited. Let's go play another football game or I get sacked 8,000 times. But he's been handling everything like an absolute pro, like you would expect him. And again, another person at one point this year, tons of people have talked about, oh, he's, you know, immature or whatever. He cried and he's just, you know, he's not a leader, all these different things. I think for everything that has been put up against that man this year, I think he's done a tremendous job in terms of being a leader, in terms of acting older than he is and being ready to try and lead an absolutely broken, destroyed culture of a team, you know, as much as he can, both leading by example and vocally. So I think that, sure, you can make comments about, you know, bad throws, accuracy, things like that, and things that he has to fix. But I just think from a leadership standpoint, with nothing to work with this year, I've been super proud of what he's done from that end. And I think it means good things are coming if you put the right people in place, which
I know Jack has some people that he wants to talk about. I know, Jack, you kind of sort of brushed on this topic, but Justin Fields is gone. He's not coming back. Get over it. Move on. Justin Fields is gone. Can we stop? Can we stop that?
That's it.
That's it. Yeah. It's done.
But his record at the end of the season and the total offensive output of the Bears, and the amount of touchdowns that he threw,
if Caleb puts up 22, he'll have beaten every passing record that Justin Fields ever had. Am I right about that?
Yeah, and I think in numbers too. I was just thinking back to numbers and Brendan, like if he's got better numbers than Josh Allen, which I think he's on pace for Josh Allen's rookie year. I mean, is that no longer a good litmus test, do you think, based on number of games, or is it apples to oranges? Because I think right now, did you also say maybe better than Peyton Manning as well, RD? And we know that those guys had pretty rough first years.
They just threw lots of interceptions because rookies make stupid mistakes. And Caleb is risk adverse, which is why he's holding onto the ball so long, which is why he's missing some of these open receivers, because he's so terrified about throwing an interception. Because if Caleb throws an interception, this team has no shot. They have very little chance of winning another football game. But if he throws interceptions, it's the game is over, and you know we're looking at an epic meltdown. I mean, at least they were kind of sort of in that game going into the third quarter, sort of ish. Do you know what I mean? And because he's not turning the ball over, which, you know, we're gonna see that screenshot now of you know, the I think it was Roma Dunze right open in the middle, and he doesn't throw it to him because he sees the DB coming in, and it's just like I'm not gonna put the ball in harm's way. And so in one part of me goes, that's pretty awesome. He's going to throw sub 10 interceptions, knock on wood, right? But then the flip side is that he's not putting up enough points.
You can do the screenshot game for every quarterback. You really can. It's just, it feels like it just always happens with the Bears. Maybe we just see it because we're more tied to the team. But again, I just think like, yeah, stats – they're all over the place in terms of like, you know, comparing apples to oranges, and Josh Allen didn't play all his games. We know what Justin Fields did. We know what Mitchell Trubisky did. I mean, you know, you want to see him push the ball down the field more. You want to see him just take more risks to see what he can get away with. And he was doing some of that in the game. Just balls were dropped. I mean, it wasn't just Keenan Allen dropping a ton. Roma Dunze dropped a surefire touchdown. We can go back to the 49ers game where there were issues there. It's just, it just doesn't all get put together. And then when you also miss, and you miss on third downs going 1-for-12, you have those drive killers where things, they were able to move on first and second down and kind of get a little bit of momentum going. And then I think they were like 1-of-3 for fourth down as well. That's a big issue because you're right, Ryan, like yesterday, it kind of felt like a winnable game. Like the Bears are still kind of in this. If you look at the total yardage, if you look at a bunch of the stats and the team stats box score, it's pretty similar, which is scary. It just comes down to missing on third downs, not being aggressive enough when you're in the red zone. Obviously, the touchdown, the Doug Kramer fiasco, which was one of the most bizarre things I've seen in a long time, and that's saying something. You know, you just win and lose games on those key mistakes.
Doug Kramer has cost the Bears 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Backup offensive lineman.
Maybe just don't do it anymore. Let's keep Doug like on the offensive line.
Justice for Kari Blossom game, for God's sake. I mean, you had a actual – this is what makes me mad, guys. You had an actual fullback who's pretty freaking good. He's athletic. He knows how to play the position. And you're trying to get all cute and say, well, wait, we got this like you know, a little bit of a lot smaller lineman, he can move. Let's put him there. And then even better, let's give him the goddamn ball and let's get him responsibilities where he actually has to do something other than freaking block the guy in front of him. And look what disaster happens. I mean, that experiment should have started. It shouldn't have even started in Washington, but it damn sure should have ended there. And I mean, the fact that Thomas Brown goes back to the well there and says, yeah, we can use him in that situation because we sure as hell cut the actual fullback we had. Like, come on. What are we doing? I hate it.
Thomas Brown is the embodiment of that meme that's like, I became important at work and I like hate myself or whatever. Yeah. Whatever it is.
Or,
like,
or the Michael Scott, the Michael Scott Ed Truck meme where he keeps getting promoted with the long hair.
Yeah, I think that was a little too much for him.
Jack, I know you got two questions in the barrel ready to go. Do you want to hit us with those?
Yeah, sure. I was just listening a little bit today. As you guys know, I'm a bit of a fantasy sports addict. And I just think it's interesting. And I think I really, you know, I want to hear everybody's thoughts on this. But Logan and I have kind of already been in this situation with the White Sox. And I'm just curious. I heard Jeff Mann on SiriusXM, who is sometimes just like a bit of a blowhard, but oftentimes makes really good points. And he was talking about how he and his family, Chicago born, Chicago raised, like Bulls, Blackhawks, loyalty. You know, like we've got this embedded kind of loyalty to our team and to this city. We grew up with it. It's meaningful. It's important to us. We identify with it. He was talking about he moved to Arizona, you know, and he was kind of pushing that on his son a little bit early on. And then now he kind of he's gone full 180 where he's like, you know, he kind of has these tirades where he's like, we don't owe these teams anything. We don't owe these cities anything. They don't own us. If nothing else, they are just trying to monetize us. So like, I guess my question and what I struggled so mightily with, you know, with the Sox, and now I feel like I'm in that same spot again with the Bears is like, I mean, the question is city team loyalty fools go gold? You know, are you guys sticking with this team? Do you just compartmentalize it and then just keep being a fan? Do you shut out all the other noise and just root for them blindly every Sunday in hopes that they win? Do you look at them and go, well, as long as McCaskey's own the team, which is where I'm kind of at, I'm going to just going to, you know, be a sideline fan. I'm going to be a latent fan or a lapsed fan. And I'm not going to let it kill my enjoyment of football because I love this freaking game. So I'm going to watch like I did with baseball last year. I'm going to watch more baseball. I did watch more baseball than ever before. I'm going to always watch every possible game I can, plus the red zone. And I think, you know, with the chairman in charge, I think for a while, probably the Bears are just going to be sidelined for me a little bit. Always a fan, but like not this like blind, I like Ryan's term, I keep using it, like religious devotion. So I don't know. Logan, BS, and then RD, is city team loyalty fool's gold? And are you sticking with this team?
Man, this is definitely a very interesting question. So like for me, I would never in a million years, like I would maybe root less for a team, but never in a million years ever for the rest of my life pick another team for better or for worse, because it's just for me, my sports fandom and like love of sports began when I think I was probably 4 or 5 years old. And I remember like, I distinctly remember like being in my dad's office at home and he gave me this like White Sox book and he like, you know, I was flipping through it and I probably read it like 1,000 times and just looked at all the different pictures and stuff like that. And right then that's like where my love of the White Sox began. And I'm sure to a similar vein, it was something similar with the Bears where it was like, I wanted to be like my dad. My dad loved these teams. And so for me, like maybe it's putting too much into it, but like for me, it almost feels like sports for me are a connection like to my dad and to, you know, my mom, even my brother, my sister, because we grew up with all of these memories of supporting these teams through thick and thin. And it gets to a point, I think, where now it's just like too late. But I'm going to continue to support them because for me, like I mean, there has been so much shit that you know, as a White Sox and Bears fan, those are my two favorite teams. I have trudged through, I think, and me and Jack have trudged through. And I mean, Cubs can say the same. They won recently, but I know that the Cubs have obviously had it tough. But man, I don't think that there's anything worse that you can go through. But also for me, like, I think that the way that I try to like view life and also sports much less importantly is like, you got to go through these hard times. And, but these hard times, I think, make that like reward at the end of the road. It might be 10 years. It might be 50 years for a championship. It might never happen. I hope that's not the case, but it makes it that much sweeter to say like, I stuck with it through. But I also completely understand fans who are like apathetic. Like for me, the Bulls, I'm a Bulls fan, but I'm also like apathetic towards them just because I kind of know what I'm getting from the Bulls, which is kind of funny because I guess you could say the same as the Bears and the White Sox. So I'm a very, very loyal person, but I completely understand if anyone who wants to take a step back and just be like, I'm going to enjoy this sport and not so much worry about the team. So yeah, very loyal, but I want things to pay off because I just feel like the reward is that much greater if you stick through with something.
That's really well said. And I'm kind of on the same line as you. I still stick with it. I think I've told you guys this before. I think I've talked about it elsewhere as well. My love of watching professional sports. I played sports on my whole life, but I never really truly got into watching and rooting for pro sports teams until the 03 Cubs when I was like 12, 13 years old. That's the team that got me into it. I was a Cubs fan. I was like a Bears fan, but not necessarily like, I just sort of yet said, yeah, of course I root for them. I'll go to a game every once in a while. That team turned it into a passion. And then immediately after the 03 Cubs collapse, as everybody knows, I just turned to the Bears. They were the next thing on. And I was like, well, I like football and I want to take that passion now and put it into the Bears and football. And from there, it just kind of skyrocketed. That was the 03, 04 season. Like, those were not good years, guys. And then I lived through 05 and 06. And that is still the pinnacle of my Bears lifetime. And no, for you guys, I believe as well. And just seeing that and just living and dying by every single game, every single play, those memories are ingrained in me. And just, you know, watching games with my best friend, watching games with my buddy, going to cold as hell games in December with my dad and with my uncle and freezing my ass off, but still just cheering because Brian Urlacher sacked the shit out of Michael Vick. Like, things like that live with you. And as I get older, I just realize that, yes, it is hard and we've seen a lot more bad than good, but you know, those are still experiences for me. Those are still events. Like, Bears games are events for me. And I know I'm in a different realm now than I was even like 6-7 years ago, now covering them and writing about them. Sometimes it gets harder. Sometimes it gets tougher to write because I'm just out of words. Like, you see the same thing over and over again. You can only say that change needs to happen in so many ways before it just gets tired to even write, let alone read and talk about. But, I was actually talking about this with my boss today too, because she had said, yeah, she couldn't watch the game last night. And she was like, I was bummed. And I was like, were you really? And she's like, yeah, even though they suck, like, I'm a football fan through and through. And we only get so many Bears games. There's only a few left. And then we're going to be without football for months at a time. The offseason takes so long. And to everybody who says, like, I'm done with the Bears, I'm apathetic, you'll be back. Because that itch never goes away. You go through the draft, you go through free agency, training camp, you start seeing some things, and you get that itch for September football. And yeah, it might fade a little bit, but it never goes away. So I just can't ever get away from it because I do love football so much. I love this team for just everything I've grown up with. And, you know, they've been my longest relationship, good and bad. And yeah, it is tough when you keep looking at the same common denominator that Jack has talked about so many times. But I don't know if it's blind loyalty. I think it's just something that's ingrained and, you know, it's part of your culture. And I just think, like, last thing I'll say about it, like, the city the area, whether you're in Chicago or you're outside Chicago and you're around the world, like there is nothing better than just when the Bears are good and everybody is happy and you can just celebrate with your friends or even just random fans you see on the street. Like that brings people together. Sports bring people together. Like, you know, Logan was talking about as well. And it's just a sense of that, like that does keep you going and you think of those good times and you just hope they come back soon. But yeah, I kind of rambled there, but I can't, I have to stick with this team. It's, you know, it's ingrained now.
Brendan, I love your story. You know, thinking for me, it was 2001. I was a peripheral Bears fan until 2001, that magical season where they won a bunch of games that they had no business winning. And they won, and it was fun. It was really, really, really fun. And Logan and Brendan both talking about this a little bit, that familial connection, right? There's something about that. You know, me being a Bears fan, it was not a choice, right? It was something instilled in me. Old enough to have lived through the 85 Super Bowl, but I don't really remember it. But everyone, neighbors, family, like everyone talked about the 85 Bears, 85 Bears, 85 Bears. You know, one of the first biographies I ever read was Never Die Easy, Walter Payton. Someone to truly cheer for, to root for in so many different ways. And Logan, you said something that really, really, really clicked with me, you know, just like that just... you can just never give up on it. And I remember saying something about like something very similar to that effect 10 years ago. Like I'll never quit the Bears. I love them. Maybe it's just the nature of my age and having two small children. And maybe it's not necessarily leaving, but putting a break or a pause on it. There's part of me that just thinks, man, I don't know. There's just a lot of other stuff and priorities going on in my life that maybe I just don't need to be as active a Bears fan as is possible. You know, people don't change, only their motivations do. So maybe it's time for a little bit of a break until they get their shit figured out. That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely fair. I think everyone can make their own, like if that's the choice that you make for that reason, it's like an absolute no doubt about it thing. I think that the thing for me is like, if like you make the choice to like, I'm going to step back from the Bears, I think the only way that I would ever like look at someone and be like, I don't respect that from a sports perspective, not like as a person, but if you like chose another team and then all of a sudden we're like a diehard fan of that other team. Otherwise, taking a step back from it's sports. At the end of the day, we are doing this to enjoy, to have fun. And if it's truly like you feel like it's impacting your life, step back, do what you need to do.
Just super, super quick, just because I became an Australian football fan because there were no live sports. COVID took all that away. Kevin Nalewski, who's been on the show, he's a Vikings fan. He's like, hey, let's find a team. And there were a couple requirements, history and some winningness, right? Like the ability to compete. And it's been super fun to become a new fan. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the only thing I'll say to what you're saying, Logan, is like to learn the traditions and just join in. And then you can literally like you put it on a message board like, hey, what do I need to know about this team? And watch people get super riled up. Like that shit was a lot of fun. Like not saying I'm going to do that with the Bills or the 49ers. But like if I did, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, in that case, like you didn't have a team before in that one. That's awesome. That's just a cool experience. And again, like if you do, you're a person out there, you decide to pick a new team, you have your own free will. My opinion doesn't matter of what you want to do. That's just me just being an idiot.
I guess the only thing I would say, and I mean, obviously this is, you know, your opinion question. And a lot of my thoughts, I think, are similar in that I'm just struggling with what to do because I don't think there's any doubting any of our diehardness when it comes to, you know, being Bears fans or Logan us as Sox fans. I mean, like we're pretty all in. Like we know everybody on the team and we know exactly how they have done and we follow the drafts and we follow, you know, we
made a podcast. Baseball
is, right? Yeah, there you go. Like,
so the thing, and I do think the point that I agree with a lot is that like, family connection and how wonderful it is to have like developed like those traditions and family connections. And even if it, you know, towards the end of my dad's life, we couldn't talk about much, but we could talk about the Bears, the Sox and fantasy sports. And that was pretty cool. So I do get that. I think there's like an importance intangible that goes along with that. But the part about it being fun, or the part about loving the game, or the part about hoping for success, like I'm not being critical, Logan, but I think I used to make the same argument about like, and we waited for so long for those White Sox to win that World Series, and then they did, and I was in tears when they did it, and it was like adulation. Waited, I watched so much shitty football in the like late 70s and early 80s. Yes, I am that old. And then they won in 85, and it was like, man, we went bonkers. Like, we sang bad rap songs and sang them over and over again until you didn't want to ever hear it again. But there are other cities that don't do this. There are other cities that have sustained success over time. There are other cities who aren't getting freaking laughed out of the building by the announcers and everybody else because the play is so disgusting. I mean, so incredibly gross at certain times last night. And again, if you just kind of look at it from an objective perspective and look at records over time and this franchise's like relative success, I get it's a storied franchise and all that, but like, most every decade, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and then through the 2000s, there's little pockets where the Bears might have won 10 or 11 games, and that's great. But most of the rest of it is fifth out of five in the conference, fourth out of four in the conference, third out of four in the conference. So my thing lately more so has been like, as a person who loves football and really great football, and who loves it because of how fun it is when it is executed correctly on the field, there's nothing that this team has done like really any time in the last three decades, aside from a little splash of it when you guys love the Bears, I think under like Nagy with Cutler and you and Brennan and Ryan, you talk a lot about like, I think those op teams and those teams were pretty good. But other than that, instead of like, offensive proficiency and just having fun watching. What's fun about what we're doing, guys? Mm-hmm. What's fun about these freaking Chicago Bears? What is fun about watching like so many screens because you have another offensive coordinator who is lost and scared and has no confidence? So what am I going to call? I'm going to call screens and I'm going to call another freaking screen and another screen. Yeah. So I just, the Vikings are getting it right. The Lions are getting it right. The Packers have gotten it right for decades. Well, I should take that back. Before Brett Favre, they were shit, right? They had to play in Milwaukee Stadium because nobody would come. But like pretty much since the 90s and Brett Favre, they have sustained success over a long period of time. Guys, that must be fun. I wouldn't know. I've never experienced it. And I guess that's my, like the last point I'll make was that the guy, Jeff Mantz, is kind of saying in the digital age, like, and I was saying this to Ryan, I could become a Buffalo fan tomorrow. Go full out, full send. I could listen to their podcasts. I could watch their drafts. I could watch all of their games because of like streaming. I could follow the news reports. I could follow their beat reporters. There are people that are Bears fans in Ireland and in England. Like you could do it. You could do it remotely and you could be a fan of a team that isn't like run by morons who have proven themselves to be morons for decades. Like, that's a choice that's no longer fun for me. And I know that I'm making that choice. I'm making the choice or I'm not. And that's what's so hard for me, I think, is just to think all those points that you made, I think are great points, but there's no denying that this product is awful. I mean, it is awful. It's a laughing stock. It's terrible and it's continuing to be terrible. And there's no end in sight to that terribleness. We're going to talk about the next coach. Is it going to be Vrabel? The only guy who could do this heavy lifting is Vrabel. Bullshit. It doesn't matter. Who's the new offensive coordinator going to be? Are they going to get a new offensive minded head coach? On and on and on, guys. We've been doing that for decades. And what difference has it made to the success and sustained success of this franchise? The plain facts are they are an awful franchise. And we have been like dedicated and loyal to them for decades. And that's one of the heart of my question is, as much as I have it in my heart and my DNA to be loyal like you guys are to a team that I've grown up loving, it's almost harmful. it's almost harmful. It's not enjoyable.
It's a one-sided relationship.
You needed to end that whole thing with, and for that reason, I'm out. And then just leave the podcast.
Yeah, right.
Or wake up, sheeple.
Yeah, right. Well, are we? I mean, maybe we are, Brendan. Like that, like devotion.
Do your own research.
Think about all the freaking hope I had. We had. Idiot. I should just say me. I'm an idiot.
Repeatedly, I'm an idiot. I can't stop smiling because you sound like me over the last couple of weeks, right? See, that I'm just like,
you're broken, dude.
Yeah. I'm just so sad that both of the teams that I grew up loving are run by two of the worst freaking owners in all of professional sports. That's shit luck. If I didn't have bad luck, I might not have any luck at all when it comes to my professional teams.
The only thing that I'll say is for myself, don't let either of my teams get hot. Don't let them get hot one day, 2,700,000 years down the road, because I will be so goddamn annoying to everyone. I will be the worst. You will hate me.
I love it.
Cubs fans will hate me. Everyone will hate me.
If the Bears ever beat the Packers again, I'll be insufferable. Just insufferable. You know, just like talking so much shit. But I don't see it happening anytime in the near future. So there's that.
Just wait until I pick the Bears to beat the Lions this weekend. I might actually do it.
Honestly, with that one, I wouldn't be as shocked, just because, as you've well documented, Brendan, Jared Goff in December outside. Seriously, you've done a phenomenal job. He's really bad at that. The Bears always play the Lions tough. Like, stranger things have happened, and you know, for the most part,
decimated.
Just
no David.
How many
Montgomery?
Dudes do they have? How many Demo? Dudes do they have on IR? It's ridiculous.
Many.
So
many
dudes.
Here we are talking ourselves into a win against one of the best teams.
Oh, it just happened again, Brendan.
Let's go, boys.
Happened.
Let's
it
go.
It just back. Happened. We just finished people like pouring their hearts out into how much they.
It was like 1,000, 2,000. Where's Mike Pete Detroit? Where's Mike Pete Detroit?
That's the thing, Jack. That's the thing, because I know, and I'm not picking on you, because I know how beaten down you are. You are the one who's been really just, you know, driving the train of that. You know, it all starts with the McCaskies and everything. I definitely agree. I mean, man, we're going to be talking at some point next summer, and you are going to be bought in. You're going to be back. And that's what they do. That's what they do, man. You think you're out, and then you just get that hype. You start seeing, oh, hey, that's a new head coach. I'm hearing good things about the offense. Things are different now. And even if you want to say that, no, I'm smarter than that. I am not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe trick again. You'll be back. I mean, we'll all be back.
I flipped the switch on the side. Man,
he did.
Didn't watch any baseball games of theirs. Didn't go to a game. I flipped the switch fully. Like, I guess I could still say I'm a Sox fan, but I didn't know. I no longer knew who their second baseman was. I didn't know what trades they were making. Didn't know what the records were. Decided it was bad.
I'm gonna go one further. The White Sox contacted you. Was it for a free suite? Was it free tickets or free suite or something like that?
Ridiculously, like, good seats. Blatantly trying to give away. Like super executive suite seats, box seats, like four of them to like four different games. And I was like,
good.
Yeah. No,
I hope again, maybe it is simply because I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old right now that there's just part of me that goes, I don't know. They watch the kick against Green Bay. I've already told this story and I'm sorry, but all of you that are listening, I'm literally like, this is it. Bears are going to beat the Packers first time since 2018. I'm holding my beautiful 1-year-old in my left arm and my 3-year-old in my right arm. And my 3-year-old goes, Daddy, what's going on? I'm like, baby, I just need some good luck right now. And then boom.
You dropped the kids? Oh, God.
She booted you in the nuts. Oh, no. She didn't.
Slowly, carefully put them down. And Kate, my wife, my beautiful wife, looks and goes, oh, I'm so sorry. And my 3-year-old goes, Daddy, where are you going? What's wrong? And I just said, Daddy will be okay in a little bit. Why am I doing this to them? Like, what? you know? So I don't know, Brendan. I don't, this might be the first time where I think, you know, a little detour and just watch them peripherally instead of, as you know, we had a comment much earlier, to see if I can find it. Visijo, I commend you guys on the show for wasting your time and energy on this team that doesn't deserve to be covered, a total collapse. I, you know, just this as an extra, like I love spending each week with you guys. I get a chance to see Logan, who freaking lives in LA, but there's part of me, Jack, that's like, man, if I could maybe do what you did and just like Bears make the playoffs, cool. I'll watch. We'll see what they do. Do you know what I mean? Like 5, 7, 13, 15, 27 years down the road, whatever it might be.
You ever notice that Ryan's always more excited to see Logan than anybody else?
That's so good.
I noticed. It's fine.
Revealed.
Logan and I, we went from seeing each other every day, 6 days a week, and we would be at these meets that would be like, dude, sometimes like 8 or 9 hours. Yeah, and then this dude moves out to LA and I'm like, come back. Know. You know?
Yeah. It's a big change.
Yeah. So, yeah. And Brendan, I want to hang out with you too, just so you know.
No, it only hurts a little. It's fine.
Did I or did I not go out of my way to drive to your house to stand in your driveway just to say hi and give you a hug?
I think you were literally, it was on your way.
It was 20 minutes out of my way, but you live in the boondocks. And so I stopped out
I don't know if I'm in the boonies.
Say you're in the suburbs and I go, is that still the suburbs?
Wisconsin. Like,
where do you live?
Okay. I live, I don't want to dox myself, but I live far in north suburbs, McHenry County.
Okay, so yeah, it's way up there.
Where that is.
I mean, Jack, aren't you basically in like, you know, central Illinois? Like, you know,
I'm in Iowa. No, I'm like within spitting distance of the city. I can be in the city in like 40 minutes. How about you?
It's a long spit.
Okay, all right. Yeah, it's a loogie.
40?
Yeah, I may have doctored the numbers a little bit.
Just again to Brad Butcher, our token Vikings fan in the comment section. Dude, I hate the Bears, but I can totally connect with our misery when it comes to the Pack and the Lions. So, hey, Brad, cheers to you. Seriously, thanks for hanging out. Jack, I think we kind of already addressed your other question, if it's okay. It's already kind of been a longer episode, too. Boys, let's hit anything that we missed. If we could be brief about it. Logan, anything that we missed?
Yeah, I don't have anything important. I'm just, you guys are beautiful.
Jack?
I mentioned it at the start of the show, but I just would mention it again. I haven't seen anybody work and run as hard as DeAndre Swift did last night. If there was anything to enjoy in the game for me last night, that was that. I just thought he had like this desire to get in the end zone. And that's what's fun about football. And I really appreciate it. And then one other like kind of negative, I usually rely on Brendan for like when this play happened, but it was late in the third, early in the fourth when I think Caleb scrambled for what seemed like Kyler Murray long, and he's dodging and he's ducking and he's spinning and the offensive linemen are standing around watching. And then he like finally gets himself in a position to throw and he just whips it down the field like 30 yards to no one. And that's what I like messaged or I tweeted. I was like, gross. Like this is disgusting football. Like I can't even, it's awful football. Like, you know, again, we all watch other games and we all see Green Bay against Seattle. Green Bay against Seattle? Are you kidding me? They're still getting better in Green Bay. So that was just, it really stood out to me as a horrifically bad, bad moment in the game.
Brendan, anything we missed?
Yeah, I remember the play that Jack was talking about. And I think if it's the one that K Keenan Allen sort of like he was matched up one-on-one and he tried to get it, but it was like, you know, he was just standing there trying to wait for the end zone. And then there was a penalty anyway on Karana Magaje. So it wouldn't matter regardless. I mean, you know, Caleb trying to make something out of nothing. He's getting no blocking. He tries to throw up a prayer to his veteran wide receiver. It doesn't work. God. And there's a penalty. Like that's bingo. That's Bears bingo, baby. So I would say I correctly predicted that the Bears would have a ton of false start penalties or illegal formation or things like that in my bold predictions. And you know how you know the season's getting bad, guys, when that's a bold prediction because I'm running out of things that we can look for because it's been all bad. And I was still right on it. Keenan Allen, for even with his drops, he still made a couple nice plays. So it's which is even more frustrating because he shows he can do it. That tiptoe catch was just vintage Allen. And then probably the next play, he drops one that hits him right in the chest. I mean, it's unbelievable. I saw a comment from my buddy David Kruger. I'm sure we'll talk about this on a future show, you know, thoughts on polls, because there was a lot of conversation happening. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Dangle doesn't want to talk about it.
No.
You want him to go. My bad.
He's got to go. I have done a total 180. I was a Ryan Poles guy at the beginning of the season. He's got to go. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's fair. I'm feeling like the same thing. I don't think there's going to be like a mutual parting of ways or like a resigning thing. Like he's going to get fired if he's going to get fired. I think there's still more than a sizable chance that he stays on, but that's a conversation for another day because we still have three more games to go. The Bears can't cover third downs to save their life. That's fun. And then I'm trying to think, I don't know. I mean, it was a rough game to watch. Like, you know, I don't know what else we need to talk about it.
I think it's time to get to shout outs. There's nothing that we missed. There's nothing in that game that was worthy of talking about, or I'm just mad at myself for staying awake for that whole thing. Like that's really what it comes down to. I'm really, really, really mad. Boys, let's get to shout outs. Let's go the same order that we just went. Let's go Logan, Jack, Brendan, and I will finish it up. Shout outs, boys.
No single person comes to the top of the mind, but I'm going to be back in the city of Chicago, AKA I'll be in Naperville on Thursday. So, I'm excited to be back, excited to experience some cold, and it's about all I got. So I'm excited to see the fam, and what are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at your Naperville comment is the most suburban thing to possibly say. I mean, the city of Chicago, aka Naperville.
I've gotten so used to being out here and telling people that I'm from Chicago, and like, obviously, like if they're like, oh, I know about, I'm like, I'm from Naperville. Like I stop them like before they can even say anything because I don't want to be that guy.
Sorry.
So, that's it. Next person.
Definitely a shout out to Brad Butcher who just said, you know, he just randomly showed up and watched for an hour and then complimented us saying, nice show. That is really, I mean, that's cool. That's maybe happened before, but we wouldn't know it that it happened because they didn't necessarily mention it. But and I believe, and he's a Minnesota fan. So that's really cool. Thanks, Brad. We appreciate you. And obviously to all the people that, you know, are in the chat throughout the entire episode, especially with the Bears being terrible. And I could see where, again, going back to my earlier points, you might be like, I can choose my free time spending more time hashing the Bears or no. And so those of you that chose yes, thank you. Like that's really, it's admirable of you. We appreciate it. So shout out to the folks that stick with us and stay with us. We really appreciate you.
Yeah. Another shout out in the chat. I know Matt's always here. He gave us another compliment talking to Brad. I always want to do like Brad Butcher, like Billy Butcher. But Matt says this show is one of the few bright spots of this year. So that is very kind of you. And we really appreciate everybody just hanging out. I know we didn't necessarily go into X's and O's about the game and we're just talking more philosophical stuff. But you know what? It's fun for us and we hope you enjoy it as well. One shout out to one of the best Bears content creators who is now retired, Robert Schmitz. We had him on the show a year and a half ago, I think. Had plenty of conversations with him as well, just, you know, and DMs and Twitter and all of that. He's taken a step back from covering the Bears. He was recently writing with DeBears Blog. He used to be with Windy City Gridiron and ran a few podcasts as well as live streams to break down film. He's having a second kid, and he pretty much kind of did what Ryan was talking about, like taking a step back and saying, you know, just life is getting in the way. And, you know, Bears content creators are, we are losing one of the best out there. Robert's analysis is phenomenal. He's very, I'd say, inclusive and making sure everybody kind of feels seen. And he really takes what everybody says to heart in terms of just, you know, shouting people out and, you know, engaging. He's one of the best people to engage with. So really big shout out to Robert. I know he'll still be around a little bit, but definitely going to miss his work that he puts out on a day-to-day basis. And lastly, I just want to shout out one of my coworkers. I don't really want to name him because I don't know how much of this is out there. But he suffered a heart attack at a very young age, like in his 40s, out of the blue. And he's been in the hospital for a few weeks. And he's somebody who talks to me about, like, he checks out our Bears coverage. I think he's seen a few podcasts. He's read my work. Hope just prayers out to him and his family. Hopefully, you know, we're hoping for the best. But again, I don't know how much I should say, you know, I don't want to, again, like put a name out there, but just, you know, one of my coworkers is just, you know, recovering and really hoping for a speedy and quick recovery for him. So thinking about you.
Shout out to Brendan's guy there, like from all of us here at the Bear Down Chicago podcast, sending lots of love. Kiwi Bear. So he is a long suffering Bears fan living in New Zealand. We've had a lot of interactions. I think maybe even at the start of this podcast, which this podcast has been going on for what, 3 years now, boys, something along those lines, right? We've been doing this for a little while and he's been with us, for quite a bit. So Kiwi Bear, shout out to you. This is another one. I'm just going off the rails a little bit. David Haw. There are a lot of Bears writers out there, and when you do this as a side job, like sometimes you really become a little bit more critical of some of the mainstream people. And what I will say is that David Haw was not my favorite Bears guy, but in my morning commute, I find myself going, yeah, like out loud sometimes with some of the things that David Haw has to say. Someone that I know on this podcast that has met David Haw said he couldn't have been a nicer guy. And so shout out to David Haw, man. Maybe we'd love to connect at some point, maybe have you on the pod. That would be a blast for all of you that are hanging out with us, whether you be a Vikings fan like Brad or a Bears fan like Matt, any of you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's not been easy to hang out with Bears and do that sort of stuff, but we know that some of you are still hanging out with us and it means more than any of us can say. It's not as easy, boys. I mean, I don't think I'm saying anything outlandish or crazy that it's been a little bit tougher to do this and to get excited about this, but we're here, we're trying to have fun with this. And more than anything, it's just great to see Logan, not the other guys, not at all, but just to see Logan. I just wanted to
see. I'm gonna start writhing like Caleb. Just bad body language guy.
You that can help comment us was out. A virtual sack.
This
Karana Magajangle.
I feel bad we didn't even talk about it because we've had his high school coach on, Ryan McHugh, who's a good friend of the podcast. He had a bad game. He had a bad game, but he was put in a bad situation too. It's not all Karana Magajangle.
It's a no-win situation.
It was a no-win situation. So for all of you that are listening to the Bear Down Chicago podcast, thank you. You can help us out. You can hit like, you can hit subscribe. You can interact with this video on YouTube. Please, you know, hang out with us. Send it off to a friend. There's a lot of places to get your Bears content. You've chosen to hang out with the Bear Down Chicago podcast. We say thank you, thank you, thank you. We're so very, very appreciative of that. Whew. For all of us here at the Bear Down Chicago podcast, that's Cam Ellis, Logan Bradley, Jack Wright, Brendan Giroux, Patrick Sheldon. I am Ryan Dengel. Folks, thank you so much. And as always, Bear Down, Chicago.